The insurrection. Thune's worried it's going to spread.
We're all worried it's going to spread, Jalan said.
So what? We're just going to ignore these alien assholes banging on our door?
The governor's upset. He doesn't want to listen. Not now, not to me.
Then who?
Jalan wrapped her hands around the stainless steel bar that bracketed the bottom of Avery's mattress. She squeezed, as if doubtful of the metal's strength. Someone with knowledge of authorized response plans for first contact scenarios. Someone who can either convince the governor that bringing in the fleet is the right thing to do, or has the rank to overrule him. She looked up. Not me. Avery heard frustration in her voice, a flaw in her emotionless facade. He had an opportunity to say the right thing, to explain that he shared her frustration, and to ask her what they could do together to prepare Harvest for an attack. Instead, he let his anger get the better of him.
The governor's playing politics, he snarled, and you're not going to do a damn thing about it?
Avery had been testing the boundaries of insubordination since Thune had left the room, but this was a clear step over the line. Jalan pulled her hands from the bar. My ship is already on its way to Reach, carrying a report in which I recommend in no uncertain terms that Fleetcom ignore the governor's objections and immediately dispatch a battle group. Any weakness in her voice was gone. She locked Avery's brazen stare. What else, Staff Sergeant, do you suggest I do? Walk of Shame was an Oni sloop, a very fast ship. But Avery knew it would still take more than a month for it to get back to Epsilon Eridanus. The battle group would take time to muster and would be slower to transit. Best case scenario, it would be at least 3 months before help arrived at Harvest. And Avery knew, deep in his gut, this would be too late. With a silent curse, he yanked out his IV, threw back his bedsheets, and swung a foot onto the floor. His hospital gown was surprisingly short, and Jalan was at a particularly awkward angle, but her eyes remained fixed on his as he removed his freshly washed uniform from the middle shelf of the hospital cart, stepped into his fatigue pants, and fastened them beneath his gown. What are you doing?
Returning to duty.
Avery tore off his gown and tossed it on the bed. Now Jalan's eyes did flick up and down, registering the ugly contusions the recent fight had left on Avery's broad chest and shoulders. I don't remember giving you permission to do that. Avery muscled into his olive drab t-shirt, dropped to a knee, and did up his boots.
I have my orders. Train a company of militia, and I intend to do it, because right now, ma'am, their sorry asses are all this planet's got.
Avery pulled on his duty cap and marched toward the door. Jalan sidestepped and barred his path. He was a head taller, much heavier, and stronger. But looking down at her stoic face, Avery honestly wondered who'd come out on top if he tried to push past and she tried to stop him. In the end, all she needed was her voice. Everything you've seen and done in the last 48 hours is classified. Top secret. You will train your recruits the best way you know how, but you will not tell them what you know. She paused, eyes flashing. Do I make myself clear? Avery had thought Jalan's eyes were brown, but now he realized they shone deep hazel, fathomless green.
Yes, ma'am.
Jalan stepped aside, and Avery slid open the door. Stepping into the hall, he was surprised to see Captain Ponder sitting on a cushioned bench a few doors down, fingers busy on his compad screen. Ponder looked up as Avery approached.
I was expecting worse, he smiled. You look pretty good.
Captain, Jalan said as she strode quickly past. Ponder stood and snapped a hasty salute with his prosthetic arm.
Ma'am?
The two Marines watched Jalan head toward an elevator at the end of the hall. Her black boots' low heels clacked loudly on the polished white tile floor. Avery waited until she was inside the elevator and the door was closed before he asked,
Did you know she was a spook?
No, I did not.
Ponder dropped his comm pad into the chest pocket of his fatigue shirt.
But as far as they go, she isn't too bad.
Avery narrowed his eyes.
She's hanging us out to dry.
What she's doing is following orders.
Ponder put his prosthetic hand on Avery's shoulder. Bringing in the fleet, that's Thune's call. The captain could tell Avery still wasn't convinced.
Listen, all the gear you didn't leave floating out in space, she gave to me. She wants us to take it back to the garrison, put it to good use.
Avery knew there were weapons and equipment in Jalon's arsenal he could use to train his recruits to fight, not just march and shoot at targets on the range. If that was all the lieutenant commander had to give, Avery agreed. It was better than nothing.
Come on, Ponder said, steering Avery away toward the elevator. On our way back to the garrison, you can tell me how Staff Sergeant Byrne managed to get himself stuck by a lizard in a spacesuit.